Chapter 5. I'm doing something wrong, Derek finally says. His tone is completely devoid of melodrama. He's just stating a fact.
Honey, I don't think we can help you, Lydia says, shaking her head. We got advice from an actual professional and everything, and it still hasn't helped.
Styles sighs and agrees. I'm not so sure we'll make any progress with her until after we've dealt with Deucalion. So let's do it. Allison, you're with me. Let's go talk to your dad and my dad about surveillance. He bites his lip and looks around at everyone. He wants to get everyone out of the house so Derek and Cora can have some space, but he also doesn't want to leave Derek here alone. Erica, you're with us. Scott, why don't you go drop by Deaton's office, see what he's up to. Lydia, you're with him. Danny, Mac, Jake, make a supply run. We might wind up holed up here for a while, and I don't want to run out of food, caffeine, or video games. Boyd and Isaac will stay here with Derek and Cora. Derek pulls out his phone and looks at those going on the supply run.
If I tell you what I want, can you stop at the art supply store I always go to?
He's thinking of the canvases, tiling the disaster of the studio floor. He doesn't have what he'll need to finish the project he started in a moment of hysterical insanity.
No problem, Miguel, Danny says, mostly to see if Derek smiles or not.
Derek cocks an eyebrow at him.
You know, I kissed you once, he says,
and Danny knocks his glass of orange juice into his lap.
Right after we first turned you, and you were sleeping,
he continues, pretending to be oblivious to the chaos surrounding the spill.
Like you were Sleeping Beauty and it might wake you up. But these two,
he points to Styles and Lydia,
were too slow to capture the moment. Just like today.
You're the worst, Danny says with a groan. I'll be in my bunk.
No, you'll be buying supplies, Styles says, smirking. Go on, everyone has their job to do. Derek, just call me if you need me, okay? Derek texts a list of supplies to Jake.
Just keep the receipt, and don't have heart failure at the prices.
Are you kidding? After seeing how much Uncle Chris spends on ammo in a week? Jake says.
Pound for pound, the ammo is probably cheaper.
Styles gives his head a little shake. I mean it, Derek. Call me if you need me. You promise? Derek nods.
I promise.
Styles stands up, and everyone helps clean up the kitchen of what's left from breakfast so they can do it as quickly as possible. Then they split into groups and head out. Derek watches as the last of them go through the panel. Styles isn't allowed to climb over the fence yet, so they have to open it any time he comes or goes, which annoys him. He gives a little half-turn and waves at Derek as the gate closes, and he arms it again. Derek can hear the reassuring hum. He gives it another minute before going to find Cora. She's found their training room upstairs and is working with one of the punching bags with ferocity that makes him wince. He watches her for a few moments before saying,
That won't help you heal any faster, you know.
No, really? Cora retorts, hitting the bag so hard that it spins away from her and rebounds with twice the force. Derek steps in to keep it from knocking into her.
Then why are you doing it?
She grabs it back from him. I wouldn't expect you to understand.
Then explain it to me.
Cora stares at the window for a long moment before turning and instead saying, When did Laura die?
Almost 3 years ago,
Derek replies. He'd been watching Cora, but at that he turns away, looking into some middle distance between them. And when did Styles become your alpha?
About 4 months after that.
Okay, so you were Omega for 4 months. I've been Omega for 6 years. She spins and gives the punching bag a solid kick, so hard that it comes unattached from the wall and goes flying across the room. Does that clear things up for you?
No.
Derek has to stop and do the math.
What happened to the pack that you had in there for almost 3 years?
Cora goes completely white
And then she runs at him, spinning at the last second to send a kick just as vicious right at his face. Derek drops underneath it without even thinking, sweeping one of his own legs out to try to knock her down. Then he would have a chance to back away from her and try to assess this nerve he had just hit. Cora goes sprawling, but controls the fall, springing back up as quickly as she hit the ground and lunging forward, oblivious or uncaring of the way Derek is trying to back off. She aims a right hook at his chin. Derek blocks it and tries to spin her away with a blunt shove to her shoulder. He doesn't want to hit her in the stomach or chest unless he has to. She stumbles backwards, then swears, folding her arms over her stomach and walking away, putting her back to Derek and looking at the window. Derek stares at her back for a long moment. "I'm sorry that I'm not what you wanted, that this pack isn't what you wanted." "I should have known better," Cora says bitterly. "I'm used to disappointment anyway. I don't know why I even got my fucking hopes up." That feels more like a punch to the gut than any hit she could have landed. He finally has blood family again, and she doesn't even want him. It takes everything he has not to just shift and run. Instead, he just turns and heads down the stairs to his studio. The door is slammed shut, and he has the paint out moments later. Eventually, he loses himself in what he's working on. He has no idea how much time has gone by before the door slams back open and Stiles stands there, eyes red and posture tense. "I told you to call me if you needed me. You promised." Derek cringes for a moment before his alpha's anger, but then rallies. "I didn't call you because you can't fix this. You can't make her love me. You can't make her glad that she's got a brother at all, even if I'm not what she expected. Hell, I should be acting more grateful than I am. What right do I have to be angry about anything she says? I should be happy enough just to find out I have a sibling still breathing." He leaves out, after what I've done, because he's very sure that Cora would actually try to kill him if she found out that this was his fault. "Just because I can't fix it doesn't mean you're alone in this," Stiles says. "You are not alone. You always have me. Jesus fucking Christ, don't you know that by now?" Derek just looks up at him from where he's kneeling, paint smeared in amongst the canvases, and gives a small, sad wolf whine. "Jesus," Stiles says under his breath, and goes to his knees beside him, wrapping him into a hug. Derek buries his face in Stiles' shoulder and just clutches at him, fingers digging into his shirt. "We'll make this right, okay?" Stiles tells him. "I don't know how we'll do it, but I'll figure something out. We will figure something out." With a nod, Derek says, "I'm sorry I didn't call." "Don't worry about it." Stiles smooths down his hair. "Just be glad that Isaac and Boyd had your back. Boyd grabbed your phone when I called you and told me that no, I didn't have to drop everything I was doing to come back here. You were painting. They'd call me if you left your studio." "I thought about it, just shifting and running away." Derek rubs his cheek against Stiles' shoulder. "But I knew you'd be pissed." Stiles just shakes his head a little. "What did she even say to upset you that much?" "Just the usual," Derek says, wondering if Stiles will let it slide. "You know, if you don't tell me, I'm probably just going to imagine something worse," Stiles points out. "But you might not act on speculation," Derek says hopefully. Stiles' eyes narrow. "So she said something horrible." He stands up to go. Derek slumps in defeat for a couple of minutes after Stiles has left the studio. And then what Stiles is planning finally sinks in through the emotional exhaustion. He bolts to his feet. "Stiles!" He jogs out of the studio and stops to try to listen and find his other, and often, but not always, smarter half. It takes him a moment to realize that he doesn't need to rely on otherworldly senses. He knows exactly where Stiles is going to go, and he runs down the hallway and into the armory. He nearly runs flat into Styles, who's just leaving. You're not supposed to be taking part in any sort of physical exertion, Derek reminds him firmly. Almost, but not quite, blocking his path. Styles stares at him for a long minute, then leans over Derek's shoulder and shouts, Scott, I'm about to break a whole bunch of promises I made you. Then he pushes past Derek and heads up the spiral staircase at the end of the hallway. Derek follows him, clearly unhappy, and then Scott comes jogging up the hallway, following along on Derek's heels. What? Why? What the hell are you up to? Derek, move so I can slap him upside the head. Styles turns on both of them, eyes flaring crimson. Cora, he says pointedly, loud enough that she would be able to hear him no matter where in the house she was. Upset Derek. Cora told Derek that she was disappointed in him. Well, her problem is with me, not with him, and we are going to settle it. There's a long moment in which Derek is frozen, before he turns away, showing his throat. So much for Isaac and Boyd having his back. One of them had clearly told Styles what Cora had said. Scott just stares, then nods a little. I'll just go get the first aid kits. You do that, Styles says, and slams the door to their training room open with one fist. Cora glowers at him from inside. She's clearly heard what he said. Okay, Styles says. I've tried to be nice about this, but my typical good nature is being sorely fucking tested. I don't give a flying blue fuck about what you've been through. You have no right to come in here and judge your brother. Cora's gaze flickers to Derek, who comes into the room behind Styles, but stays by the door, because he's not stupid enough to get in his alpha's way. You're just gonna hide behind him? Yes, Styles snarls. Yes, he fucking is, because I'm his alpha, and therefore it is my job to stand between him and danger. And I don't care if that danger is fire or monsters or some little bitch who doesn't understand how things work around here, and who just wants to undo the last 3 years' worth of work I've done to convince Derek that he is worthy of having a pack, of having a family. I swear to God, if you say one more word to him, I will kick your ass. Cora's chin tilts up. I'd like to see you try, she says. Okay, Styles says. You and me, let's go. Right here, right now. Cora lets out a disbelieving laugh. Cora, don't, he says, shaking his head. You won't like the results. Oh, I'm really shaking now, Cora says. Bring it, bitch. Styles does. He does without warning, darting forward and aiming a fist at her face. She catches him by the wrist and twists him around. He bounces off the wall and comes at her twice as fast, one hand coming out in a swipe across her abdomen. Derek sees the glint of light off metal. He's stolen one of Allison's favorite weapons for close combat, a gauntlet with wickedly clawed fingertips. It slashes through Cora's shirt, but she manages to avoid the worst of the blow. Cora spins and kicks, and she's fast, at least as fast as any of the pack members. But Styles has trained with them for years. He goes into a tumble and lashes out again as he passes her. The claws dig into her calf, and she lets out an involuntary yelp as droplets of blood flash across the floor. Then she snarls, "Is that the best you can do?" and slams a foot down. Styles rolls so he doesn't get it in the chest and gets back to his feet. He's moving a little stiffly now, trying not to betray the pain he's in. He hasn't sparred at all since the gunshot wound, and he's slower than he should be. He only barely manages to block Cora's next punch, catching her fist an inch from his face. And they stand like that for a moment, struggling. Cora has the raw strength to pull back if she wants to, but she's intent on pushing forward, and Styles won't let her. He's using both of his fists to her one foot back against the wall for extra purchase. You don't have a clue what it's been like for me, Cora says, low and breathless. So how about you keep your damned opinions to yourself? You can't protect my brother. You can't...
Can't... A brief look of confusion flickers across her face. Styles hooks his other foot around her ankle and she goes sprawling, but he doesn't follow up. She tries to stand, but her body isn't cooperating. What the fuck did you do? She screams. Styles holds up the hand with the gauntlet. It's venom from a creature called Acanema, he says. It's a paralytic. Works best if you get it in the spine, but actually any skin contact will do. Scott skitters into the room only a second later to stand beside Derek, who's crossed his arms over his chest to keep from interfering. He's toting the first aid kits for both humans and werewolves and drops them at his feet. That isn't fair! Cora shouts at him. Nope, Styles says. He walks over and puts a foot on her stomach, but he doesn't rest his weight on it. It's a reminder, not a threat. Because I don't play fair. Newsflash for you, Cora. I will do anything to protect my pack. I will cheat. I will fight dirty. I will break all the rules. And that's what makes me good at what I do. I'm not going to fucking apologize for it. If you don't like it, I don't give a shit. I do what I have to protect my pack. And the fact that you're still confused about this after spending almost 24 hours in this house just proves to me that you have no idea what an alpha is supposed to be. Derek starts to edge forward then, carefully, waiting for a signal that he shouldn't. Styles holds up a hand to stop him, but it's a wait gesture rather than a get back gesture. Cora is snarling and sputtering, trying to move so hard that her fingers are twitching. Although nothing else will move. I'm supposed to take alpha advice from you? She asks. Yes, Styles says. You really are. Because not only have we fought off other packs and sorcerers and weirder bullshit than that, like fear monsters and canemas, not only did we come through all that, we did it without losing a single pack member. Jesus, Cora, do you know how many packs splinter when they meet a threat like that? People get scared and run. You know that. You've been Omega, so I know that you know that. But that didn't happen to us, because these people trust me to protect them, to deal with whatever comes, and to take care of the pack. That is what makes me an alpha, Cora. Not the claws, not the red eyes, not the blood on my hands. It's the fact that I keep this pack safe, and I keep this pack together. And you simply cannot say I haven't done that, because here we are. He steps off her, and then jerks his head at Scott. See to her first. I'm okay. I'll decide that, Scott informs him, but he does grab the werewolf kit and head over to Cora first. He rolls her onto her side into recovery position, with hands that are professionally gentle. You want me to cut up your jeans or take them off? Scott asks. Because he doesn't think he'll be able to push or roll them up far enough to suit him. Derek, meanwhile, moves forward again when Scott is given the okay and puts a hand underneath Styles' elbow. Styles glances at Derek and gives him a little nod of acknowledgement. Cora growls at Scott and says, "What do I care? They're not mine. Anyway, get off me. It'll heal up in a minute." "No, it won't," Styles says, trying not to roll his eyes. I'm an alpha, remember? Yeah, we'll see, Cora mutters. How long does this shit last? Styles glances at his watch. Venom from an actual canema can last several hours, especially if it gets in your spine. He talks over her outraged protests and continues. That, however, was a synthesized version that we've been trying to perfect. We've got the effect okay, but it's nowhere near as potent. Only lasts a few minutes. Of course, in an actual fight, that's more than enough time. Cora, shut up and let me do my job in peace, or I swear to God I'll slip and tape your mouth shut, Scott says. It's fairly obvious that his mood isn't the greatest. And you owe Erica an apology about her jeans, even if she does manage to turn them into Daisy Dukes or something. He pulls out a pair of wickedly sharp scissors and slits the jeans all the way to the knee. Well, actually, I don't want her to shut up, Styles says. He sits down heavily, folding his legs underneath himself. I want her to talk.
About what? Cora snaps.
About what happened to turn you into the bitch you are today, Styles says. You keep snarling that we don't understand? Well, make us understand.
Okay, well, she needs to stop bitching at me, Scott mutters, but goes about cleaning the wounds off and putting a bandage over them.
Derek sits with Styles, a little behind him, so he has something to lean against.
I don't have to tell you anything, Cora says. I don't trust you, okay? I learned a long time ago that trusting people is a great way to get yourself killed.
I'm sorry. I just feel like you're interpreting this as a request, Styles says. It isn't. You came on my territory. You're threatening my pack. Maybe not physically, but you're certainly upsetting the emotional stability. So, from where I'm sitting, you're an enemy until proven otherwise, so you had better start proving it.
Scott changes out the first aid kit and kneels down in front of Styles.
Let me see.
You should be more specific, Scotty, Styles says, but he holds his arms out loosely to his sides to let Scott check him out.
His gaze is fixed on Cora, but she's glaring at him and not saying a word.
Scott gives him an unamused look that he's learned from Melissa and Deaton and starts checking for broken or cracked ribs. The silence just continues to draw out, but Styles has apparently decided to let Cora stew until Scott is done with him.
When Scott starts to edge his shirt up, waiting to see if Styles is going to protest, he huffs out a sigh and just pulls it off, tossing it into a corner. The scar from the gunshot wound is on his right side, a few inches below his heart, a pink splotch with a dimple at the center. Of course, it's by far not the only scar he has.
The fuck? Cora breathes out, almost unable to hold it inside, when she sees the remnants of violence painted all over Styles' skin.
Scott growls a little. What, do you think he always wins by asking nicely?
He pokes and prods at Styles for another minute.
I think you're fine, basically, but take it easy or I swear to God I'll have Allison drug you.
It's not like she laid a hit on me,
Styles says, directing the comment right at Cora with a nasty smirk.
You son of a bitch, she snarls back, but she still can't move.
I'm totally serious, he says. This is your last chance to tell me why you're so dead set against trusting people, or I'm going to tie your paralyzed ass up and leave you in the pit.
Cora's lip twists and she finally bites out, because of Uncle Ryan.
Derek startles.
What about Uncle Ryan?
What, did you think I escaped on my own? Cora snaps at him. I was 11 years old, for Christ's sake.
Derek's hand comes up to cover his mouth for a few moments.
I didn't think you had escaped at all, he reminds her. For the last 9 years, I thought that all of you had died in that fire, Cora. And for the last 3, I had no family except what I made.
He curls into Styles a little.
Uncle Ryan made it out?
Yeah, but don't get your hopes up, Cora says. She tries to keep her voice bitter and angry, but her eyes are filling with tears.
He trusted another pack and it got him killed.
Several seconds pass while Derek just watches her and tries to hold out. But then he moves around Styles and pulls Cora into a hug, with her head resting on his shoulder. She allows this because she has to. She's still limp like a rag doll.
I'm sorry, he tells her. The words both an apology and sympathy.
Why the fuck are you sorry? Cora says. But she can't stop crying now.
Hitching little sobs keep escaping despite her best efforts.
I just am,
Derek says, smoothing her hair back.
I wish we had known. We could have been together.
That thought leads to another, creeping in from the back of Derek's mind. All this time, Cora had known he was alive, but had stayed hidden. She had no right to judge what sort of pack he had found or built to survive when she left him alone. But he squashes the thought back down ruthlessly. In the end, he does have his sister back, and that's the important part. I couldn't, Cora says. Uncle Ryan said we couldn't. We would put you in danger. I wanted to come find you, but people would have hurt you. Hunters. I had already lost everyone else. I couldn't lose you, too.
Derek sighs a little and hugs her tighter.
Are there hunters following you now?
He asks. It seems like an important question. If there were, Chris has most likely already told them to cool their heels at the county line.
I don't know. It always feels like there are, even when they're not. Jesus, my nose is running.
She shoots a vicious glare at Stiles.
You were the worst.
Guilty,
Stiles says, without a hint of actual guilt. Scott just hands Derek a tissue.
Thanks,
he says, although he doesn't sound very grateful. To Cora, he adds,
let me know if you need me to wipe it.
Fuck you,
she retorts, and sniffles. Derek just shakes his head at her, amused despite himself.
Any hunters, if there were any, Chris would have stopped at the county line.
Because you guys are all chummy with the local hunters, Cora says.
Stiles shrugs and says, like I said, I break all the rules.
Stiles and Allison have pretty much zero tolerance for hunter bullshit.
Derek informs her. He sounds like he finds it somewhat amusing. Cora's eyes narrow.
Yeah, that Allison girl. She seems to know a lot about hunters. Why?
She is one?
Scott offers gingerly, with a preemptive wince like he knows it's going to cause an explosion.
Way to have tact, McCall.
Derek shoots at him.
Way to demonstrate hypocrisy, Derek.
Scott snorts back.
What do you mean she is a hunter?
Cora snarls over both of them.
You had better have meant past tense there. And even if you didn't.
Derek sighs, and it sounds like it's coming all the way from his toes.
No, actively. She's also Stiles' chief enforcer.
He waits a beat, and when it appears that Cora is too busy gaping at him to protest, he continues.
She's an Argent, and before you get your panties in a twist about that, I was just as pissed as you in the beginning. They have a moral code that they take very seriously. When they aren't fucking crazy like Kate. The only people Allison and Chris would ever hunt are the same people we would likely take out ourselves for doing things like attacking or killing humans or turning people against their will. He lets that sit for a few seconds. She'll also have some things to say to anyone in her family that would shoot at or hunt down an 11-year-old girl that just escaped a burning house.
Things to say? Stiles interrupts, lips quirking. More like arrows to shoot.
Cora's still scowling.
Well, I don't like it, she snarls.
We'll don't like it nicely, Scott says, because she's my mate.
Of course she is,
Cora mutters. Seeing that Scott is about to ask what the hell that means, and figuring that they don't need his temper to contribute to the proceedings, Stiles hastily interrupts.
Okay, that's great and all, but you still haven't actually answered my questions. I asked what had happened to fuck you up so bad, and you haven't really been long on specifics.
Well, I don't see why I have to be, Cora shoots back. It's not like any of you are falling all over yourselves to tell me who killed Laura.
Derek pulls taut against her, and seems to curl in on himself. That's because it hurts, and I wasn't even here for her, he says. It's barely a whisper.
I don't need a fucking play-by-play. I just need... just... give me a name,
Cora says, her eyes gleaming momentarily blue.
Tell me who killed her, and tell me what happened to him. Tell me the bastard paid for it.
I don't think he even... it was Peter. Uncle Peter.
Derek presses his face into Cora's hair and has to take a long moment before he can go on.
Everything that made him the man we knew and loved, it died in that fire.
Cora stares at him, then her gaze whips back to Stiles.
You killed my uncle, she says flatly. Styles nods.
I did, he says quietly. I had to.
You had to? Cora chokes.
Yeah, Styles says.
He was insane, Cora. All he cared about was revenge. It never would have ended. He killed innocent people. He turned people against their will to form a pack and make himself stronger. It was never gonna stop, so I killed him. You're lying, Cora says. Peter, Uncle Peter would never...
Derek just cuddles Cora closer. No, he wouldn't have. But he died in the fire. What was left spent years healing the burns. But what we loved was gone.
Cora reached up with one hand and wipes her eyes. Then this seems to distract her. I can move again, she says, although her movements are a little jerky, uncoordinated. She starts trying to push herself to her feet. Derek lets her go, almost glad that she seems easily distracted. She tries to get up, but then her leg gives out, and Scott grabs her before she can fall. Shit! She looks down at her calf. They really didn't heal. Styles opens his mouth, lets out a breath, and says, I'm going to go bake something. Derek throws his hands up in despair at his sister's statement. Oh my god. Styles just shakes his head. Ginger snaps? He says to Derek and Scott. Scott grins like an idiot. Yeah! He says. Derek nods once, possibly having used up his store of expressible emotion for the day. Styles gets to his feet, but he does it slowly, one hand lingering over the wound in his chest while he does so. Then he extends a hand to Cora. She looks at it like it's a dead banana slug, but grudgingly accepts it, and Styles pulls her to her feet. I just hope we have enough of everything, he says, as they head downstairs. If you seriously think the others went to the grocery store and did not buy everything you need to make ginger snaps, you're tapped, Scott says. And don't even try to say that they might not know what to get. Jake has the recipe on his phone. Styles lets out a snort of laughter and proceeds into the kitchen. The pack is loitering in the general vicinity, and all of them are tense and anxious, having heard his fight with Cora. He lets them check him out and make sure he's not injured and mark him liberally. Some wolf instincts simply can't be conquered. He talks with Danny about his computer searches for Deucalion for a few minutes. He stands with Lydia and helps her twist her hair up into some exotic-looking knot. He goes over the shopping list with Jake, who always needs encouragement. It takes almost 10 minutes for him to make the rounds and subtly reassure everyone that everything is fine. Cora watches him do this in silence. She looks somewhat annoyed still, as she sits down at the kitchen table and Styles starts the cookies. Derek hoists himself up onto the counter into his usual spot. So, Styles says, you gonna tell us where you've run into Deucalion before? Cora looks away, her hair hiding her face. For a minute, Styles thinks she won't answer. But then she says, North Carolina. I was 13. Derek does the math. That's 2 years after the fire. Cora had said she had had a pack for 2 years. Does he have something to do with what happened to Uncle Ryan? He asks quietly, his fingers curling tightly around the edge of the counter. Not directly. Cora rubs a hand over her face. I didn't even meet Deucalion and his pack until almost a year after Uncle Ryan died. I don't know if they came to town specifically to fuck with the pack I was with, or for other reasons. But Duke picked a bone with the alpha of that pack, and everyone got wiped out except for me. Derek looks at Cora for a long moment, thinking about how little she seems to understand about pack that isn't blood family, about how she says the pack they trusted betrayed Ryan, about how tough and angry she is. She would have to be really tough to have survived so long as Omega, especially so young. You weren't really part of the pack anymore, though, were you? Because of Uncle Ryan. Yeah. Cora studies the table. The pack? This bitch named Shannon?
I guess Ryan knew her from school or something. She agreed to take us into her pack. Ryan said it was just temporary, and that when it was safe, we would go find you and Laura. But there were hunters after us. Ryan, see, he was the only adult who survived the fire. Besides Peter, I mean. She wipes her eyes impatiently. He was the one who could go tell the police it hadn't been an accident. That there had been people in the woods trying to force us back into the house. So hunters came after him. Her voice roughens. And Shannon sold him out in exchange for amnesty for her pack. Derek's usual iron control slips then, and his claws tear furrows into the counter's edge. He yanks his hands up and away from the counter. Styles glances at him, but then seems to decide that there's really nothing he can say, no comfort he can offer. He continues quietly mixing ingredients and says, "But not you." "The hunters didn't give a rat's ass about me," Cora says. "I was 12. They didn't ask, so I guess Shannon didn't tell." Derek almost wishes that he could hate this Shannon for being wholly without morals. It would have been easier than the raging contempt for her lack of spine, which had failed to protect his uncle as part of her pack. She could have sold Cora out too, but instead she just orphaned her again. "I can't say I'm sorry she's dead." Cora looks away, but doesn't reply. There's silence for a few moments while Styles runs the mixer. Then he says, "But you stayed with her." "She wouldn't tell me to leave," Cora says flatly. "Even a 12-year-old beta adds power to the pack." Derek's quiet for a long moment, his expression a flat mask. "What am I supposed to say to that? There's no one left to kill." Cora lets out a snort of startled laughter. "Yeah, well, it's not like I had anywhere to go. I wanted to go find you and Laura, but I wouldn't have known how. Uncle Ryan said you guys were on the run, too, because of the hunters. So all I could really do was try to keep my ear to the ground." Derek relaxes slightly at getting a genuine laugh out of her. But then he looks away. Laura took me to New York City. We did it the long way. Driving. A night with an allied pack here, a hotel room there. She got us an apartment in New York." "I didn't know," Cora says, studying her hands. "But it wouldn't have mattered if I did. I couldn't go find you until I could take care of myself." "It can't be changed," Derek says. "You're here now." Cora nods wearily. Styles glances over from where he's measuring and says, "Given those givens, I'd think that you and this Deucalion guy would get along. You know, since you didn't seem to be a big fan of Shannon and her pack." Cora scowls at him. "Duke is a pompous, grandiose, pretentious asshole." "That sounds like you just described Danny's best friend," Derek says. "Him being all those things doesn't mean you have to hate him." "Thanks for the newsflash, Derek," Cora says. Styles puts a bottle of molasses in the microwave and hits a few buttons. "You hate him because he killed Shannon and you couldn't." Cora snarls. "So what?" "I think he was just pointing it out, not criticizing," Derek tells her. "Well, it didn't need to be pointed out," Cora says, still glaring. Styles lifts his hands in surrender as the microwave beeps. "Just trying to understand where you're coming from." "So how did you avoid the same fate as the rest of Shannon's pack?" Derek asks, as he reaches up and pulls a pad of paper off the top of the fridge. "Did you help him?" he asks. There's no judgment in his voice. Shannon let his uncle be killed after promising them safety. He wouldn't blame Cora if she had helped. Cora tucks her hair behind her ears. "I wasn't good for much at 13, but I might have made sure some people didn't get back up after Duke and the others knocked them down." Derek wants to ask if the whole pack knew what Shannon was up to, but he decides he doesn't want to know the answer if it means that innocent people died. He tears a sheet of paper off the pad and starts folding it into a wolf. "And Deucalion decided that made you, what, worth sparing? Or just interesting?" "Just interesting, I think," Cora says with a shrug.
I may have said some unkind things to him for not letting me kill Shannon myself. Her mouth twists into a grimace. He told me if I wanted her alpha power to come after him someday and take it back.
Did you?
Derek asks.
Want her power, I mean. Or did it not matter that she was an alpha?
I just wanted her dead, Cora says flatly. But Deucalion said I shouldn't be the one to kill her.
She looks up and looks straight at Stiles, her eyes gleaming blue.
He said I wasn't worthy of being an alpha.
Stiles fumbles the flower sifter and nearly drops it.
Oh, man, he says. What a douche.
You weren't worthy, but he is. Someone who kills packs for fun. Derek scowls. I'm gonna kick him in the dick for talking to my sister that way.
Cora's lips twitch into a smile despite herself. Yeah, well, like I said, he's an asshole. After he blew through town, I didn't have anywhere to go or anything to do, so I sort of just wandered on my own for a while.
She shrugs. I'd stay with other packs, but I never joined one and never wanted to. And then I heard about Duke, heard that there was an alpha in Beacon Hills again, so I came here.
Stiles glances at Derek, but doesn't say what he's thinking. He's glad Cora's being more open with them, but that leaves a big gap in her life. 5 unaccounted years, described as wandering on her own. Wandering where? Was it really possible that she had simply missed hearing all the fuss about Stiles' existence as the first human alpha? The boy in red who had defeated Sebastian Stone and challenged the elders at their own conclave? There was out of the loop, and there was in a cave on Mars with her head buried in the sand. And Stiles simply can't fathom how she didn't have any of this information. But she clearly hadn't had it. Her surprise and contempt over Stiles had been genuine. Stiles decides to drop it for the day. Cora has given him a lot, and it's been a rough day for all of them. He devotes his efforts to the cookies and makes a double batch. Everyone deserves it. Cora clearly doesn't want to talk anymore, so Derek distracts her by pulling out his sketchbook and showing her some of his drawings. This seems to mellow her out a little. She's obviously tired. Stiles quietly makes them both some tea and simply deposits the mug next to her without asking for acknowledgement. The pack is hovering a little as the first batch of cookies come out of the oven. Wait your turn, he says as they eye the cookies greedily.
We're not here for them, Danny says. We're here for her.
He tilts his head towards Cora.
What? Oh, the virgin cookie face, Stiles says, shaking his head but laughing a little.
Come on. If anything can make her look happy, it's gotta be these cookies, Erica says. And if she's gonna smile, we're gonna see it.
Cora scowls at her.
I'm not going to smile, she says.
She doesn't. She glowers at her the whole way through the cookie that Derek gives her absolutely no choice in eating. Then she eats 5 more of them without prompting, glaring the entire time.